seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship and GAA Legends Tour Series of Croke Park. Hashtag Hurling to the Core.
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In Independent.ie's GAA podcast in association with Bord Gáis Energy. I'm Will Slattery and I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Michael Verney. Michael, hello.
How's it going, Will?
I'm doing well, thanks. All-Ireland football final just around the corner. The excitement is starting. I see you've gotten your final haircut as well. You tidied it up.
Yeah, badly needed now, in fairness. But isn't there a giddiness to Saturday's match? Just because it's such a unique kind of pair. And I find myself even giddy thinking about what could happen. Like, I would, my own club, Borough, green and red. So I'd always follow Mayo closely. And it would be unbelievable to be in Croke Park Saturday evening for the green and red of Mayo to be played out over the tannoy, you know, 30 seconds after them winning. Like, the din, I'd say, would carry across Croke Park for hours. And then on the flip side of that, you know, Tyrone going for just their fourth. Like, so it's going to be very, very unique either way.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, obviously, you know, Dublin have won the previous six All-Irelands. There have been some, you know, unbelievable games against Kerry, against Mayo, and they have been great occasions. But there is something kind of refreshing and interesting and exciting about two really evenly matched teams who don't have a huge, you know, Sam Maguire winning pedigree over, you know, obviously Tyrone won those three under Mickey Hart, but like none in the last, you know, 13 years. There's something that kind of adds to the excitement a little bit, even though the marquee matchups we've been treated to, some of them have been brilliant. There's something different in a good way about this one, I feel.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, two big, huge semi-final upsets. And, like, No one with the best one in the world could have predicted this final pairing. And that's what we want in sport. Like, I've no problem being wrong the whole time with predictions if something brilliant is happening and it's, you know, a total surprise. And Saturday's final pairing is a massive, massive surprise. And, again, you're just not sure what you're going to get Saturday evening. And I think that's the beauty of sport. And that's been the beauty of this year. I think 2021 needed things like this to happen, needed Dublin to be beaten, needed Mayo to be in a final, needed Kerry to be beaten, who were the, you know, supposedly going to take over the throne from Dublin. We needed this to spice up the championship. And say there's a little bit of spice left on Saturday. We haven't seen it all yet, I'd say.
Well, that's the funny thing. Obviously, Mayo with the 70-year drought, you know, probably most neutrals' favourite this weekend in terms of who they'd like to win. But I don't think there's a team better set up to play the spoiler on Tyrone. Like, they won't give a damn about the Mayo narrative. Not that any other team playing them in the final would, but I feel like they'd really kind of almost relish spoiling that party, the coronation. They did it against Kerry in the semi-final. They're going in as underdogs again. I've seen already a couple of big names tipping Mayo to win in various newspaper columns. It seems like they're coming in the long grass again, even though they beat Kerry in the semi-final.
Kind of, yeah. Like, Tyrone are kind of like the anti-heroes, aren't they? They just get on with their own job. They won't really care what's in the other corner. They won't care how much optimism or, you know, enthusiasm is with the other team. They'll just go about their own job. And it's just two, you know, seriously mobile, fit sides going to just go at it, hammer and tongs at the weekend. And I think it's going to be tight the whole way. I don't expect there to be more than a score between them at any stage. And as we saw with the ladies game last Sunday, it's hard beat the excitement that a close game creates. Like, far too often in recent years, we've been looking at games where Dublin have got three or four ahead and they've been able to keep the opposition at arm's length, and the the kind of energy is just sucked out of the occasion. I'm not expecting that this Saturday. I'm expecting the energy to be at its highest at the very end, and for the excitement to be at its highest at the very end as well.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed it plays out like that. And we're now going to be joined by a legend from each of the competing counties this weekend, Cora Staughton and Peter Canavan, here for our All-Ireland final preview. And Cora, I might go to you first. We had you on last week after the Kerry Tyrone game, and you were talking a little bit about how the hype of Mayo hadn't really kicked into gear yet with the lengthy kind of break between the semi-final and the upcoming final. You know, what's the mood like now as we get really close to that big game?
Yeah, it's a little bit surreal down here. Things are still, you know, while there's plenty of flags and bunting and, yeah, you know, cars painted and stuff like that. It's not as hyped or as built up maybe as in other years. I think Mayo fans have learned in the past that, you know, the more hype you have and stuff like that, it's probably not the best. So, yeah, there's, you know, we're optimistic and there's a confidence down here. But, yeah, things are very certainly, you know, calmer than normal All-Ireland. So, you know, for me, which is good, you know, obviously from the team point of view, you know, they're obviously kept well away from that. And, you know, you don't hear too much coming out of, obviously, the camp, you know. Most he heard was that they were away, not last weekend, the week before, on a training camp in Limerick. And last Friday night, they had an A versus B match. And, you know, obviously reports in about injuries to McLaughlin. Oh, McLaughlin and Oshie Mullen are probably the two things that's the most talked about here. And will they be back ready, fit for the game? And by all accounts, they will be. So, you know, that's a boost to Mayo. But I think Mayo fans have had so much disappointment, you know, especially in the last 10 or 11 years in All-Ireland finals. So, yeah, they're quietly optimistic, but, you know, keeping everything quietly on the lowdown.
The Mayo hype has moved to Summer Bay, Cora, with Alf Stewart and Irene Roberts and everyone wearing the Mayo jersey. So you've moved the bandwagon elsewhere for the week.
That's for sure, yeah. Down in Palm Beach, it's probably no harm thousands and thousands of miles away. But, yeah, surely no matter where in the world you'll go, they always say that you'll see someone in a Mayo colours for sure, yeah. So, yeah, they've made it all the way to Sorum Bay. I wonder, will they get a ticket for Croker?
And, Peter, what's the mood like in Tyrone, you know, coming into this game, obviously after that great win over Kerry? Interesting again to see their underdogs once again. I'm sure Tyrone like the position they're in going into this game. What's people's mood on the ground there?
The mood's very good. People are in great form up here. There is a great buzz about the place, towns and villages. There's nothing but red and white. So supporters have really bought into it and bought into this team. They've given us a great run so far, and we're in a position very few expected us to be in, and very few of our own supporters expected us to be in that position. Bear in mind, you know, with new management just in, and there has been progress made. So look, we're delighted to be there, regardless of who we're playing against in the final. It's a very privileged position to be in, to be representing your county, All-Ireland final day, biggest game in the Irish sporting calendar. So look, it's great to be there. And yes, brilliant buzz. Only problem is not everybody's going to get a ticket. There's serious demand. I'm sure, of course, the same problem down there. We could sell 240,000 tickets for this game, I would think, instead of 40.
Yeah, Michael, because there is that kind of uniqueness about the matchup. Obviously, Dublin have been involved in all the finals for the last 6 years. Up to now, a few clashes against Kerry, a few against Mayo. But there's something about this Mayo-Tyrone game that has gotten people's attention, you know, maybe even more so than other years. You know, going into this game, what's jumping off the page to you? What's the big talking point going into it for you at this stage?
Yeah, but there's so many unique things. I suppose you mentioned about the novel pairing. Like, Stephen Cluxton has had his hands on Sam Maguire 7 out of the last 8 years. Tyrone have only won it 3 times in their history and have only played in 6 finals. Mayo have only won it 3 times in their history and obviously haven't won it in 70 years and were beaten in their last 10 finals. So, like, it's, you know, this is kind of been with the Offaly 20s winning the All-Ireland and even Mead winning the ladies, the last day. This is the year of the underdog, and there's going to be essentially an underdog All-Ireland Senior Football Championship winner. And it's just so much excitement to it. It said, like, I'm getting bombarded for ticket requests, and I'm not from either of the counties involved, so I can't imagine what it's like for Peter and Cora. The demand for tickets is absolutely crazy, because people know they're going to witness history either way. And I even kind of tweeted it yesterday. I do think it's interesting, you know. If Mayo win and the 70-year curse is lifted, it'll be Aidan O'Shea that lifts Sam Maguire. You know, much maligned in many quarters, like how sweet it would be for him and for how bitter it would be for all his detractors if he were to get his hands on it. And then obviously you have Pádraig Campsie on the other side, who, like, only two Tyrone men have lifted Sam Maguire. Peters obviously wanted him, and Brian Dewar did it the other two times. So it's such a rare final pairing, and that just adds to the intrigue of it. And I think anybody who tries to confidently call this game, I don't know if you could confidently call it, really. And it's the bookies obviously have it pretty tight. But after those two semi-finals, you kind of realizing this year that anything is possible. And I suppose that's what makes Saturday's final so interesting again.
Yeah, and Cora Michael mentioned the year of the underdog. From a Mayo perspective, though, they do go into this game as favourites, which is probably a new mantle that they've had to carry, you know, compared to some of the other finals they've been defeated in over the last, you know, 10-odd years, with James Horne in charge for some and Stephen Ratchford for the others. Does that change things for you in any way? Does the psychology of the battle Mayo going into the game, where the expectation probably is that little bit greater, where people are talking about this as possibly their best chance to win that All-Ireland?
No, I don't think from the team's point of view it changes anything. I think they're just the type of a team now that there's no psychological baggage that possibly was there in teams in the past. You know, they just go out and kind of take a one game at a time and don't worry about favourites, underdogs. I suppose the last time Mayo were possible of favourites was maybe 2012 when they played Donegal. You know, it's the only other team outside the Dublin and Kerry that they played in the final. But, you know, as I spoke about after the Kerry Tyrone game, you know, from maybe it's more of a supporter's point of view, we don't have the baggage of it being a Kerry, of being a Dublin, and, you know, making that trip to Croke Park and, you know, worrying about, oh, it's the Dubs again. And, you know, we just had no luck against them. And obviously we've, you know, All Ireland defeats to Kerry. So, no, I don't think. I think this group is a little bit different. I think the youth that James Horne has brought in, you know, in the past kind of 18 months since last year's All Ireland, they're a little bit different. While there's, you know, experience there with the likes of Aidan and Lee Keegan, Patrick Dirk and Kevin McLaughlin, there's a lot of young lads there that have come up through the ranks and, you know, have won at underage and, you know, really don't hold no fear. And, you know, I suppose, and you can look back to only last Sunday in the Meath ladies, you know, their youth, and that when youth go out and play in an All-Ireland final, sometimes they just let the shackles off and they don't have any of that emotional baggage that comes. I know Peter will probably tell you the same. The longer you're playing football and the older that you get, you know, the nerves become more and you worry about other things. Where young lads just go out and basically just go out and try and perform for the 75 minutes. So I don't think it'll have any effect on Mayo that they're going to slide favourites. James Horne has been around the block so long. You know, he's absolute super manager. I don't think he gets the praise that he deserves at times. So, you know, he's all business. He'll keep them calm. And I think with Kieran MacDonald in there as well, I think I can't understate the job that he's done there, you know, to work with the players, you know, spoken about working with the forward group in particular, but he has been a great person to do that kind of one-on-one work with players and build relationships with them. So, no, I really don't think that going in as favourites will in any way put extra pressure on that Mayo team.
Yeah, Peter, what's your perspective on that one? Like, you know, Tyrone, the underdogs, Mayo, the favourites. Does that matter? You know, is there anything different for Mayo, you know, going in with that tag on them, do you think?
They're favourites on paper, and because it's so close, I don't think it matters. If it was Mayo going in against Kerry or Tyrone going in against Dublin, then it would make a difference. But in this case, you know, I think they're very little between the two sides. I agree with Michael. You know, the point that he was making. So that's why I'm predicting a draw, by the way. I can't separate them. But the point that Cora makes about James, certainly I wouldn't understate his role as manager in previous Mayo teams. I didn't think I'm not saying I didn't think he was right in coming back. I questioned whether or not he had the stuff there to get them over the line. And I felt he was taking over an aging team, and that he would remain loyal to a lot of those players that were still there. And in fact, what he's come in, what he has done, he has come in and he's turned to the youth, and he has unearthed not only very good footballers, he has unearthed leaders there in that squad. And that's what's so different about this Mayo team. So when you're talking about the leaders, the emergent leaders, and maybe not even emergent, Ryan O'Donoghue has been fabulous. This year, his performance against Dublin was something else. O'Hara in the full back line, Matty Ruan coming up, Tommy Conroy. These are all faces that we haven't seen in previous All-Ireland finals, and they're really leading the charge to such an extent that he was able to tick off Aidan O'Shea. Now, at the start of the year or last year, that would have been unheard of. So it's a completely different Mayo side, and I agree with Cora, the favourites are underdog type. Doesn't mean much coming into this game. It's going to be a fiercely contested battle, thrown on Mayo always is. But the only thing is, in recent championship performances, Mayo have had the better hand. So that's why I know they were rubbing their hands when Throne beat Kerry in the semi-final, no doubt.
I doubt they were rubbing their hands now somehow. But Peter, just a quick one for you. From your role this week with Dara being involved, what's that like compared to preparing as a player? What's the pressure like? Do you feel a bit helpless in a way when you were playing? You were able to deal with the pressure yourself and go out and play. When you're watching someone that's so close to you like that, do you feel a bit helpless on game day, or what's that like?
Totally helpless, to tell you the truth, Michael. So what can you do or say? What can anybody do or say when you're standing in the stand or sitting in the stand? Doesn't matter. When the boys are out on the pitch, they have to get on with it. You can shout and roar and encourage all you want, but in terms of having a real important input, not at all. I certainly wouldn't be one for bombarding him with information, or far from it. He's very like his mother. He doesn't listen to much that I say, so it doesn't really matter. So look, when you've got a really good management setup and you know that all the bases are covered, then you're more than happy to let him get on with it. But as a spectator, number one, it's very difficult. As a parent, having somebody involved, it's far worse than playing, let me tell you, because as a player, you're really nervous for the days before the game, before the match. But as soon as the game starts, as soon as you get your first ball or as soon as you get your first thump, that's it. The tension eases out of you and you get on with the game. And as tense and odd as it may be, the adrenaline's rushing through you and you don't feel the pressure maybe as much when you're playing. Whereas when you're sitting watching it, it doesn't. You're tense the whole way through until that final whistle goes. So I'd much rather be out playing than sitting in the stands.
And Peter, just from a Tyrone perspective, you know, with the new management team in place this year, you know, what do you think they brought to the table to kind of bring Tyrone back to the final? Because I was just looking earlier, it's interesting, like six first-year managers have won the All-Ireland in the backdoor era. So there's something about a new manager bounce that top teams have gotten in the past. So do you think it's just maybe a little bit of freshness, a new voice, or do you think there's concrete things you've seen that you said, oh, they brought this to the table and this is why it's going so well?
It's a mixture of all those things. Well, first of all, before a ball is kicked, I felt they were going to get a bounce out of this team because you talk about the freshness. So right away, there were serious changes, not only to the main man in charge, but to the backroom. And a lot of Mickey's backroom team had been there for a considerable amount of time. So right away, you're talking about new medical staff coming in, performance analysis, and coaches as well. So there is a few men still there from Mickey's era, and that continuity is still there in some shape or form. So there's a freshness and there's a new way of doing things, first of all. And then when the new men come in, Fergal and Brian themselves as leaders, they have to determine the style of play, the philosophy, you know, that they want to take to the table, the type of football they want thrown to play. And there has been a change there on that front as well. So when you add all those up, and the other thing and most important thing, no matter what you know about football, you must have the respect of those that you're working with. And in this case, the group of players that are there in the Throne panel, I think that they have that respect right from the off with Fergal and with Brian. So that's a massive help as well. So when you add all those things up, we've got a bit of a kick out of it. They're heading the right way. They've made serious progress. But after saying that, well, and I said it after the Kerry game, the heat that Peter Keane is taken now down in Kerry because they lost an All-Ireland semi-final. And what do Kerry spectators and a lot of commentators, they pick up the negatives from that game. If the game had have went the other way and Kerry won by a point, which they could easily have done, then people are thinking, what a great performances by O'Shea and Clifford. What about the Kerry defence? The way they sniffed out the main threats of the Throne forward line. What about that 5-point comeback? What heart and determination that Keane is getting out of his team. There's a completely different narrative. And on the other hand, people are saying, why did Logan and Doher wait so long to get subs on? Kerry had 5 subs on, Throne only had 2 going into the last 10 minutes after COVID. Why did our forward line fail to function? Why did our first point from play from our starting forwards not come until the 60th minute. Why is there two managers? We should only have one manager. So the knives would have been out completely for them, and that's, you know, you talk about small margins. So we've managed to get a bit of the rub of the green as well, and managed to get there. But we've it all to do, and it'll mean nothing if we don't get over the line now on Saturday.
Yeah, it's set up to be a very interesting game. And Cora, in terms of the tactical battle, like, what area or areas are you looking to? Do you think that will be very crucial on Saturday? Is there anything in particular you think between the two teams, if one of them gets that right, that could be a really big deciding factor?
Yeah, I think from writing down notes to think, you know, what would be the key points in the game. You know, I've written down obviously Mayo's injuries. You know, obviously there's McLaughlin and Mullen. There's been talk of Aidan O'Shea's been carrying an injury before the Dublin game. And again, there's talk in Mayo that he's been carrying it, something to do with his heel or foot. So how they come out, you know, to pick Mayo's starting team now, you know, I think Tyrone's team is probably a little bit more set in stone. You know, at the moment, do we start Brendan Harrison? He's meant to be flying. It all depends on if McLaughlin and Mullen are back. Will Inde Hessian, who had a stormer when he came on against Dublin, will he start? So I think there's Mayo's starting team, what Horan will bring. Does he hold Hessian? Does he hold Hessian for someone like Colin McShane if he comes on and, you know, we need the legs for him? So I think that's a huge thing. Again, as I said, the benches are going to be particularly important. I think Tyrone's bench has given them a lot since they come on. Obviously, McShane scoring the 1-3 the last day. Obviously, Peter Sundara had a huge influence. Tierney McCann and Mark Bradley. So players like that, I think that's really important. You know, there's been big talk around the 4-week layoff for Mayo versus the 2-week layoff for Tyrone. You know, who's that going to benefit? Again, these are a lot of questions we won't be able to answer till you know, maybe 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. So I think they're really important. I think Mayo's experiences in final comparing to Tyrone, I know Tyrone had a number of players involved in the final, but over the years Mayo are probably a little bit different. And tactics wise, if you look at it, do Mayo press up on Niall Morgan's kickouts? Do Tyrone press up on Rob Hindley's kickouts? I think that's going to be hugely important. You know, we obviously seen that Kerry got a huge advantage on Morgan's kickouts. You know, he went long, obviously lost a lot of them. So I think that's going to be a huge area. And then obviously to go to matchups, you know, for Mayo, where does Aidan O'Shea play? Obviously, is the biggest probably talking point down here. To me, Aidan's probably best position, you know, now is probably at full forward. Do they play him in there and put him under, you know, put McNamee under a lot of pressure, get an early ball in, you know, maybe try to get an early score. I think that's going to be hugely important. Again, you know, do Mayo continue with their running game, which I think they will. And I think they're, you know, they've very strong runners coming from the back. That's all if they're fit. The likes of McLaughlin's, the Mullins, Patrick Durkin, Lee Keegan. You know, I think Mayo are going to go from this game from the right, from the off. So I think there's so many question marks around where will, you know, the matchups be and where it'll be won and lost. And again, it's like all in the game. I don't think we're going to be able to get a lot of these answers till probably 5:30 on Saturday evening, or probably, you know, half six when the game is won and lost. But, you know, you do, if you look at it, for me, to Mayo needed the 4-week layoff. You know, it gave them that week because the county was on a high, you know, after the win to Dublin. And, you know, it's talked about how well they celebrated that, as in, you know, on field. But they needed to come down. They had the week then to prepare. Then they've seen who their opposition and were in Tyrone, and then the these weeks to plan. So I think that's really important. Is it a negative for Tyrone that they've had just 2 weeks to prepare to come down after extra time, you know, and you come down off a high and go back into training straight away? And, you know, they probably had only one major weekend where they could get things right. So for me, I think the pluses are probably in Mayo's favour. But again, it's going to be very hard to call it. You're probably not going to know that till, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Yeah, Michael, the Aidan O'Shea question is one that, like, you know, you mentioned him earlier. He's such a, you know, I suppose, interesting figure. He gets talked about so much, and where he plays gets talked about so much. And obviously, talk about James Horan's ruthlessness earlier, like taking him off when the game was in the melting pot against Dublin was a very big call that was vindicated. Like, how do you think Horan might use him at the weekend? Might he even opt to keep him in reserve and try to maybe match the Colin McShane bounce off the bench if that is what happens with McShane starting off the bench?
Yeah, I don't like how he's attacked in certain quarters of the media, I have to say. Like, if you look at it, would say the only team that Aidan O'Shea has really struggled against is probably Dublin in big All-Ireland finals. So if the only team you've struggled against is the best team of all time, there's not really much you can do about that. He's dominated against 90% of other teams. I do expect him to start. I think he's probably tailor-made to start maybe in the full forward, and as Cora said, against Tyrone. I don't know if Tyrone will be able to like go after him as much as maybe Dublin have down through the years. I remember, you know, Finnie McMahon going after him. I think it was in 2015 when he kicked 1-2 off him, as in they just tried to put him on the back foot when he was in the full forward line. That's not to say Tyrone won't do similar, but I'm not sure if they'll be able to maybe exploit him as much as that.
The full back line all scored a point against Kerry. They were good at raiding forward.
That's right, Jay, and that's just the kind of that's the way of the world now at the moment, that you know the defenders get forward as often as they can. I do think it has to be said, I do think it has been talked about that he was carrying a knock going into the Dublin game. He could well be still carrying a knock, but I definitely would be expecting an awful lot more from him. And if they're going long, particularly on their own kickouts, which I do expect them to do, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he was drifting out to the middle of the park as well. It was interesting with Tyrone the last day. They essentially tried to take the middle of the park out of it when Kerry were taking kickouts. And I do think they lured Kerry into doing what they wanted them to do. So they had 100% retention rate from kickouts, but they had to build from the back and use all their energy to bring the ball up the field. Whereas, you know, Niall Morgan went long where possible and was able to, you know, take out that middle part of the field sometimes as well. But they definitely lured Kerry into playing a shorter, more energy sapping game. And it's going to be interesting to see if they do that with Mayo over the weekend again, because I think Mayo will want to get ball into that middle sector. They'll want to compete, particularly under kickouts in that middle sector. So the kickout battle is going to be fascinating, but I would be expecting Aidan O'Shea to be starting, and I'd probably expect him to start at the edge of the square.
Yeah, Peter, like, what do you think the Tyrone tactical approach would be? As Michael said, there was an element of like Tyrone getting Kerry to play the game the way Tyrone wanted them to play it in the semi-final. Like, if from a Tyrone perspective, like, what would you like to see them do to maybe get the same outcome against Mayo?
Well, I think they have to press up on the Mayo kick out to begin with. I'm not too sure, Michael, if they were happy to let Kerry win every kick out. Tyrone did go man to man, and they did try and push up, but the fact was they weren't able to deal with it. Now, I know towards the end of the game, and especially when we were down to 14 men with the black cards, we definitely were happy to let Kerry win the kick out, and we just sat back. But I think they wanted some return on to put some pressure on Shane Ryan. That didn't materialise. So, and that's very difficult. And they just about got away with it against Kerry, where you're giving them the ball and people are saying, well, Kerry backs, you know, were tired after, you know, carrying the ball out. Well, thrown forward, still had to chase them. You still had to, you know, have to run after them. And me, as a forward, I would prefer to do me running when we have the ball rather than chasing after somebody else. So if we adopt, you know, a similar policy against Mayo, Mayo's probably if not the best running team in the country, especially from their full back line. So, you know, you'd be crazy trying to keep up with those boys and letting them win every single kick out. So we have to pick our moments, try and push up and try and test Rob Hanley. Do not make it easy for him. And I would imagine Mayo will be doing something similar on Tyrone. Two teams are very similar in that both depend a lot on turnovers for their source of scores. Mayo were very good doing it in their own half and breaking at speed. And if you look at the semi-final against Kerry, that's where the majority of Tyrone scores came from, turnovers and breaking at speed. I think both teams will want to utilise maybe their kicking game a wee bit more, and that's why I believe there's a good chance Aidan O'Shea will play inside. Just because he was poor against Dublin, people are forgetting that he was very good in the full forward line against Galway, you know, in the second half. Their resurgence started with O'Shea winning balls in there and laying them off, setting up scores. So that's a serious option for them to have. And Tyrone's kicking game inside was poor in the first half. And I don't think they're going to be fit to rely purely on a running game to get the better of Mayo.
Peter, just a quick question just on Dara as well. Do you even bother asking him what the team is or whether he's in the 26 or anything? Is there any point?
I did it at the start of the year, and then it stopped when I was getting a grunt. so there's no point.
And in terms of the Tyrone personnel. Like, you know, Cathal McShane is a guy that, you know, obviously came off the bench in the semi-final, had a huge impact. Do you think he should start the final, or do you think he's better utilised as that impact sub in the second half?
Again, what's going on in training will determine that there. And, you know, the feeling was that he hadn't been in the wee games, the A versus Bs and all the rest. He wasn't doing enough, and that's why he wasn't getting on. So between that and the Kerry game, it's going to be difficult for him to try and impress. And there's only so much, I suppose, contact that they would have been able to do in training. But without a doubt, if he's going well enough and training, making a serious effort, I'd be happy to see him start. But then again, how does that affect the rest of the team? There appeared to be a good balance there in the half-forward line against Kerry. So, and again, many times have we said it about the importance of the bench and having people who are going to make an impact. In any close games this year, you can argue that it was the subs that made the difference. Certainly against Kerry, massive impact for Throne. Against Dublin, just go through every player that Mayo came on, and one way or the other, they had played a really important part in their comeback against Dublin. So again, this weekend, in a really close game, when we are analysing it after, we'll be looking at the subs, and the chances are that whatever bench has made a bigger impact, there's a good chance that's the team that's going to get over the line.
And just one question, Peter, on the whole, you know, the COVID situation over the last couple of weeks. I know Fergal Logan and Brian Dewar have tried to put it to bed, but from your perspective, like, what have you made of the commentary around it, the whole thing? It's been such a kind of a sideshow and a big talking point over the championship.
Fergal had said, I can't say anything about COVID. Well, no, look, it has been a sideshow, but thankfully, from a Throne point of view, the players, certainly it was obvious from their performance against Kerry that they didn't let it affect them. Very disappointing to see some of the things that has been put out there about hiding facts from, you know, who are the players and what are the players. The bottom line is, and I've said it before, Throne were transparent. They were up at Croke Park, had the names of everybody had it and the degree of the illness that they had. So in terms of being out there, they have it, they know the facts, and hence the game was put back. But I think as for anybody else asking questions about individuals who have it and whatnot, it's none of their business, and they've no right to do that. And look, I think that we reached the right outcome. We had a brilliant semi-final the week before. Two weeks before, it didn't look as if we were going to have one. With a brilliant semi-final, and please God, we'll equally have a brilliant final.
Yeah, it looks up to be a great game. We might go around and get some predictions now. Cora, you know, such a big game for Mayo. How do you see it going?
Yeah, honestly, and this is not normally your heart rule in your head, I'd see Mayo winning it narrowly. I think if there's nothing going to be in a point or two. And it was just something I was thinking of yesterday. You know, in the Kerry game, I think Kerry scored 8 points from frees against her own. Will it be a big pressurised match for someone like Ryan O'Donoghue? I know he's been immense since he's taken over from Cillian O'Connor in the free-taking duties. Will Tyrone, in some ways, look at that in relation to, you know, if they are giving away frees and the more difficult frees for Ryan O'Donoghue? Could it come down to something like that? You know, we haven't felt the loss of Cillian all year. And sometimes you're wondering, are you waiting for it? So I do think he's been immense, Ryan O'Donoghue. He's taken on Killian's mantle as free taker brilliantly, but is this a really high pressurised All-Ireland final for him? I hope not, but yeah, I do think Mayo are probably just going to win it by a point or two, but you know, as we spoke about the draw and all that, it's very, very close to call, and you know, it's going to be the smallest of margins and a small bit of luck that's probably going to get over the line, and yeah, I just do think that Mayo can do it, but very marginally.
Michael?
Yeah, I think there's so many interesting things coming into this. I don't think it'll be a particularly high-scoring game. Mayo kicked 13 points in normal time against Dublin, then added 4 in extra time. Tyrone kicked 3-14 after the guts of about 100 minutes against Kerry. I think Mayo have adapted to Cillian O'Connor's absence, and they're probably, if anything, more defensively sound. But when they've played in All-Ireland finals recently, if you go back to 12, they conceded a goal early in the first half. If you go back to, I think, nearly all the All-Ireland finals they've played this decade, Conor Callaghan had a goal within a minute in the 17 All-Ireland, did 2 own goals in the first half in 16. So they've they'd obviously a goal after a minute again last year. So I think they'll definitely be on high alert to make sure that they're not conceding a goal early. That's going to be really interesting because obviously Tyrone have been particularly good at getting goals the last day. I don't think, as I said, I don't think it'll be a particularly high scoring affair. I think it'll be real tight, tense, and intriguing. And like I'm not going to sit on the fence. I think Mayo will win, but I think it'll be by a point. I don't think there'll be anything more than that in it.
Two votes for Mayo. Peter, I know you teed up the draw prediction earlier. Are you sticking by that?
I am. I think it's just a very hard one to call. The reason why I think it will be a draw, going on previous games, if Mayo were in the lead by 2 or 3 points coming down to the last couple of minutes, they'll be nervous. They're very nearly there. I think Tyrone will get chances if they retain their composure to get back into the game, to get back on a level playing field. Likewise for Tyrone, this is such a massive game for these boys. None of them have an All-Ireland medal. We had extreme difficulty closing the game out against Kerry. We allowed them back into it when we're 5 points up. So, and against Monaghan, we did the same. It was nerve-wracking at the end. We maybe didn't have the composure that we would like. So look, I just hope it comes down to a piece of brilliance rather than a poor referee indecision or something like that determines this contest. I recall Fergal's last final in 95. Before that, you had most counties. Dublin had never won an All-Ireland or had got beaten in a lot of finals prior to it. And there was a consensus that the capital needed to win an All-Ireland in 95. And we got on the wrong side of a few referee indecisions that we felt very raw about and very sore about. This time around, you probably have, I was going to say 31 counties, but you'll have 30 counties back in Mayo because I can't see Galway giving you any support there, Cora.
No.
So, look, if Mayo get over the line and a brilliant game, I'll be the first to put my hand up and congratulate them because I've been there on enough big occasions and to see the effort they've made. I know what it's like to lose an All-Ireland final. So, look, if they do get over the line, it'll be brilliant to see. But I have a funny feeling they're not going to get over the line this Saturday. They might have to wait to the following week. It's going to be that close.
Well, it's set up to be an absolute cracker. Cora, Peter, thanks so much for joining us and enjoy the game.
Thanks, Will.
That's all we have time for on the Throw-In Podcast in association with Bord Gáis Energy. We'll be back next Monday with a podcast to review the All-Ireland Football Final. And in the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship and GAA Legends Tour Series of Croke Park. Hashtag Hurling to the Core.